Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin.
And I'm Dr. Richard Tooley.
And we thought today it'd be fun to just throw out one word and see if we could, between the two of us, come up with a half-hour segment on it. So the word we've chosen is love, that word that we use a lot in the English language. So, Dr. Tooley, you set the stage on love.
Love is one of those words that actually gets used flippantly a lot and without any real deep thought into it. If you look at love, there was the love boat. Okay. So and the love bug. And there was feel the love. And you go clear back to Woodstock, where love began to make a shift in terms of meaning. And love has a lot of technical meanings to it. You know, you have familial love, the love for family. You have eros love, love for a husband and wife, which should be a husband and wife. You have agape love, which is the kind of love that God has for us. So you have all of these different types of love. But one of the things that's never really explored too much but does exist is the power of love.
Mm.
So when we talk about love, we talk about power. We really need to think about power for a minute. And as you study power, there's the power of persuasion. There's positional power. You know, a teacher has positional power. Teacher's the teacher, and students are the students. So there's positional power there. The power of persuasion. Teachers have to use power of persuasion, too. You want to learn today, right? And then there is something called condign power, which is power of force. And that one sometimes people see as the ultimate power. You know, if I can make you do it, by threat or whatever else, then I have power over you. And as I have thought about all of these different types of power, I often ask, what was the most powerful power there is? And when you come down to it, if I can get you to do something for me, that when I am no longer in a position to influence you, you continue to do, I've achieved an ultimate power.
And that would be the power of love. That's gone full circle.
Yes.
As you were talking, I was thinking about power, and I was thinking about love and the power of love first in the family.
Yes.
And then the power of love and that power in your workplace and in your neighborhood and in your community. I was just going through all of that until I got to God's love and his power in our lives because of that love. It just is layer upon layer upon layer. So where do we begin?
Well, that's what's interesting for us. When we talk about the power of love that begins with God, you have to take a look at how we have treated love historically. The history of love is kind of interesting. If you go back into the early years, you know, as children, parents were parents, children were children, children were to be seen and not heard, and were to disappear on command. Mothers were seen as the nurturers and the lovers, and dads were seen as the disciplinarians and the harsh ones, and there was order in everything. When we move up into the 70s and 80s, you know, parenting began to be influenced by this free love type stuff, and we moved away from the idea that discipline and love could coexist. And we moved away from order to a much more serendipitous type of situation. So when you look at love, I don't know that we've ever been able to really, really define it in terms of familial love. Or what does love really mean, and how much love is there in the terms of agape love in the other forms of love?
How do other cultures look at the word love? Have you done any study on that?
Well, from experience, I've seen love, and it exists. I think love exists deep in all humans. In Africa, for instance, a mother loved her baby just as much as a mother loves her baby here. And the same holds true in the Asian countries, that love of a mother for their child and even love of fathers for their children is evidence.
Well, so what is the difference between instinct and love? Do you think that love ends with human beings, or animals love their babies too?
I believe so, and there's evidence of that. We underestimate the self-awareness of animals a lot. You see the stories out there. There's quite a few of them, of the dog who won't leave the master's grave. Dogs demonstrate an awful lot of love. They'll sacrifice their life for their masters in some cases. In other cases, they'll actually hide behind their masters. But they do demonstrate a love at a certain level. Now, instinct and love, can you really separate them? I sometimes think that when it comes to love, we tend to categorize it and intellectualize it as opposed to looking at it from an organic level. So, for example, if you're supposed to love someone, can you intellectually love them?
Yes, and I've heard that phrase batted around, and I'm thinking intellectually loving someone. Who made that up?
Well, for instance, how about this phrase? I have to love them, but I don't have to like them.
That's another phrase that I think is
oxymoronic.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. As you're talking, I'm thinking back to my first years of teaching, and I had students that really got on my nerves, and I had other students that were very lovable. And I felt bad because I realized that the way I was treating the students that got on my nerves was different than how I was treating the students that were lovable. And I really made it a matter of prayer. Lord, help me to love these students that get on my nerves. Help me to love them as much as the ones that are very lovable. And I felt like a miracle happened within me because I really did then love the students that got on my nerves, and they no longer got on my nerves. And from that lesson, then that changed the whole way I started teaching from that first year until now. I can't imagine not loving every single one of my students passionately, hoping for the very best for each one. They don't get on my nerves. Sometimes they're pretty hilarious. You know, they're funny. I can see that they're just beside themselves. But there's that sense of deep love for them. And I see it reflected back. I see the students responding. And I don't know if students really fully learn without having that connection of love with their teacher.
Yes. And when you talk about it, there, we have to look at what is typical of most research on this subject. We don't call it love, but you know, when you're dealing with social responsibility, that's a good term, social responsibility. In other words, being able to be social capacity, the capacity to be a part of society or within a culture of society, within the society itself, and be contributing to society requires the capacity to be able to give on an intimate level and to also receive on an intimate level. Okay, we take that as a group, as a people, and I think it doesn't matter the culture you're in. But for example, a very simplest example, if someone gives you a gift, okay, no strings attached, here's a gift. There's a tendency among us to want to respond in kind, to feel a sense of obligation to respond in kind. Oh, they gave me a gift. Well, I better remember their birthday too so I can give them a gift back. Even though that gift was given supposedly out of free will, no strings attached, there is this sense of needing to reciprocate, to give back. And indeed, oftentimes there is a sense on the part of the person who gave the gift, supposedly out of free will, to feel miffed if when their time for a birthday present or whatever comes around and they don't receive one. So we have built into us, when you start with social capacity, we have built into us the need to be able to give intimately. And take that one and tear it apart a little bit. To give intimately to someone. That means to be able to get in underneath or behind the wall, the facade that people put up. To be able to get into who the person really is and be able to give help intimately at that level to them.
Well, we have to take a break right here, but this is just getting good, because love really is at the different levels of moral development. We'll be right back. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. And I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin.
And I'm Dr. Richard Tooley.
And we're talking about that profound word, love. And just prior to the show, we were talking about that reciprocation, and that's at one level. But then the next level is where you can love somebody and they might not ever reciprocate. I mean, this is an example of a new family with a new baby. I can see those parents loving that baby, and that baby does nothing but poo on them, spit up on them, cry all night, and they love that child, even though at that point nothing's being reciprocated.
Yes, this is what's interesting about love. Oftentimes we equate love with this reciprocal arrangement. Okay, so we take this idea of reciprocity and let's move it up into one more level. Guy meets girl. Most beautiful creature you ever saw on earth. Girl sees guy, and something happens that's we call chemistry, and they appreciate each other's company. They enjoy each other's company. Love, quotes, begins to grow. If you tear that apart, there's a reciprocity that's going on there. There's there's if at any point in that relationship there's a breach of the contract, mm-hmm. and that contract is you make me feel good, you make me happy, and I am responding in kind. I make you feel good. I make you happy. We're enjoying each other's company. And as long as the enjoyment is there, as long as there's enough of a gift and receiving so that the bank accounts on either part don't dry up, then we call it love. And they reach an intimacy in that love. At certain levels, they reach a certain level of intimacy that's much closer. For instance, you can find boyfriends, girlfriends who are in each other's airspace at a much closer proximity to each other than you would find with two people who were
just
not
friends.
Yeah, who were just friends. They're not going to be in each other's airspace. They're going to be outside of each other's airspace. So they think they're sharing everything. And then something happens in the relationship. And this often happens with your teenagers because makeup breakup is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So something happens and the trust evaporates. And so that the cost of maintaining the relationship is greater than the cost of breaking up. And so then you break up because, so did we have true love there? And I think the answer has to be no. What we've had is a contractual relationship that worked.
Yes, and many people get married while they're still in that part of the relationship.
Yeah.
That part of the contract. They get married there. And then, but as time goes on, you know, you will have these devoted couples where the woman has Alzheimer's and doesn't even recognize her husband, and he's still, I think there was a beautiful story about a man that would still brush her teeth and brush her hair and fix her up for the day, and someone said, why do you do that? She has no idea what you're doing. And he said, but I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, he knew what he was doing. He was in that love where it wasn't reciprocated any longer, but he loved her.
Yes, he had gone beyond what we normally call love. In many situations, when you would find that kind of a situation, the cost of love at that point is really an infinite cost.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes everything. It takes 100% of everything that you have. But that's the interesting thing about love.
Well, that's so interesting because, you know, now I'm here at this point in my life and I even love my listeners. I mean, I think you do too. We talk to you every day. We certainly don't have time. We don't get any money for it. We talk to you because we love you, and we can use our imaginations, and God gave us these imaginations in this process called love. I can see you sitting there, maybe you're housebound. I can see you there driving in a car. Maybe you're going to a work that you don't like, and this just maybe brightens your day. I can see you as an educator who's looking for answers for that one student, and maybe you just heard something we said. And so I genuinely love my listeners, and I do this every day. I find the time, I find the resources, because I love them.
Yeah. See, when you start talking about then love, real love, love is not finite. The amount of love one has is not finite. I make my kids would come up with, often when they were little, you know, do you love me more than the others? And recently, my oldest daughter, who's, you know, getting up to marriageable age yet, she's, Dad, how can you love one person and then another one comes along and you can love them too? And then someone else comes along and you can love them too. And you discover that love then, and I tell her this, you discover that love is infinite. The more you love, the more you can love. The more you love unconditionally, the more you can love. And so you have to trace love not as something that simply exists in us. But I think when you come down to true love, we talk about agape love, and agape love too often gets treated as an emotionless love.
Yes.
Okay, it's just this antiseptic, or, you know, very antiseptic. Mm-hmm. It's
just a behavior.
Yeah, it's just that. But agape love is not that. Agape love is, in the truest sense, at the deepest emotional levels that humans have to be able to get to. That's where agape love resides in humans. But agape love has more than that, in that it has a connection to God. Can people do good, as Kohlberg says, just because it's the right thing to do? Yes, they can. And I wonder at times whether, if they really carefully analyzed it, would they find that they did it just because it was the right thing to do, or did they did it because it made them feel good about doing it? Where love won't ask that question, and love won't answer that question as yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, you mentioned the husband who has the wife who has Alzheimer's. And we have that story of a pastor who had a wife who developed Alzheimer's. And as he went through this journey with her, pretty soon she stopped. One day they're eating and she just stopped, fork held up in the air. She had forgotten how to take food to her mouth. And so from that day on, he would feed her every day. And pretty soon she began to quit recognizing who he was. But she recognized some songs. And then she quit being able to take care of herself. So he had to take care of brushing her teeth, combing her hair, and getting her dressed. And then it just kept going until the day she died in his arms. And that's love.
That's love.
Okay. So there was no reciprocity in this whole process, this whole journey that went over years. There was just this continually outpouring of this love, this flow of love that just never quit.
Yes. Flowing. Well, we're to the end of the show, but I do want to leave our listeners with one idea, and that is, God will give you the love that you need for every person you come in contact with, every family member. He will give that to you. You have an endless fountain of God's love.
The Bible doesn't say God is love just because it's nice to say it. But God is love.
Amen. We have one last thing to say, and that is, God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.